WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in 10 minutes, we will offer you a choice, the Leonard Lopate Show at noon as usual on 93.9 FM, President Obama's speech live from the Wall Street area on AM 820, your choice coming up in 10 minutes. But until then, she covers the Supreme Court. She gets the kids off to school on time. She tries to show interest in her adorable husband's job, but is writing a chick-lit novel just more than this plucky, harried heroine can swing. Slate.com columnist Dahlia Lithwick is a very frequent guest on this show. She's usually here to talk about very important legal issues. Not today. In an effort to work outside her comfort zone, she joins us as the author of the sort of book with a skinny woman on a pink cover. Chicklet. Hey, Dahlia, welcome back to WNYC.
That's the best introduction I've ever heard.
What's going on?
We have to do these sabbaticals at Slate. Let me be perfectly clear. The editor of Slate, David Plotz, has each of the senior staff writers taking between 2 and 4 weeks off this year to do something, you know, long form, very webby, very researched, that's utterly outside of their bailiwick. And, you know, initially when I thought about it, I was going to embed myself at the Justice Department or do something very legal. And then I thought, well, that's just kind of my beat. So I decided to write a chick-lit novel in real time in a month.
And the book is titled Saving Face. What's it about?
Well, we're putting up a chapter a day, hopefully 7 or 8 chapters in someday so that I can actually get it done. But so far we've put up a chapter a day, and it just follows the basic narrative arc of your basic pink book, you know, in the manner of Bridget Jones and other kind of women's fiction. And it's sort of about a struggling mom who's trying to balance work and home and kids and how it didn't all end maybe so happily ever after.
So in introducing this project to your readers on Slate, you said you would try to carry on some chick-lit conventions and subvert others. What standard devices need to be jettisoned?
Well, there's a lot of if you read, and let me be clear, there's a subgenre of chick lit. There are many, many subgenres of chick lit, as I've discovered in the recent weeks in researching this. And one of them is called mommy lit. So that's Alison Pearson's I Don't Know How She Does It. It's Fiona Neal's Slummy Mummy. So this is more in the, I didn't want to write a book about a 22-year-old hipster because I am not. So this is a subgenre of moms who, at 30-something sort of have it all but are confused about what they want. And one of the things that comes up in all of those books is this sort of befuddled 36-year-old husband who bumbles to and from work in a fog. And essentially the protagonist realizes initially that she wants to have a sordid affair because she's bored, and then she realizes she loves him after all, but not for any reason that is ever made clear.
So are you following this storyline?
No. I think, as I should also make clear, one of the really interesting things about this project is it's entirely reader-driven. In other words, we've set up a Facebook page. We've set up a Gmail account. Readers are, believe it or not, incredibly involved in plotting this for me. And so whenever I come to a big decision point, admittedly I'm only on Chapter 3, I'll put something on Facebook and say, how would you want to find out your husband's cheating? And then within 10-15 minutes, I have 40 suggestions, and I take it from there. So
yes, and I should have mentioned this earlier, because you're really writing this novel in a way that the Brian Lehrer Show can really relate to, crowdsourcing it out to your readers in your case. And I gather they chose names for characters, provided suggestions for appetizers at a dinner party, gave ideas for how a character learns her husband is cheating, as you just said. Let's see. Can you give me a character who got named by a listener?
Yes, the protagonist's husband got named, but now we don't call them listeners here.
Right, of course, yes. You do have some Slate audio, but yes, I'm locked in my own little world. I have to get outside my comfort zone and write a combat book or something.
What would be the most outside your comfort zone?
I don't know, the most out. I mean, I can't, you know. Where do you start? You know, I could write from the perspective of a peasant farmer in China.
I like. Well, I should say that reader Jessica Levy gave us the name Cole Hirschblatt for the divorce lawyer husband of the protagonist. And I kind of messed up because I initially said the first person to send in a name gets to name the husband. And Cole Hirschblatt was probably the 300th suggestion, but it was so perfect I had to go with it.
That's right. You know who's really good at that? Carl Hiaasen. I was just reading this young adult book by him because my 11-year-old has to read it for school, and I decided to read it too, called I'll come up with the title in a minute, but you know, it takes place in a middle school, and the teacher, the very stuffy teacher, is called Ms. Starch.
Perfect.
And you know, so that's just the beginning. Your bosses at Slate encouraged all the writers to take on work outside their regular comfort zones. Who else is doing what? Anybody who we might have heard of doing something interesting?
Tim Noah did a fantastic series that I really commend to your listeners in the spring about the various 9/11 theories. That was really great. Josh Levine, one of our senior editors and writers, and in fact our sports editor, talk about outside the comfort zone, did a whole big elaborate project this summer on how America is going to come to an end. That's got a terrific interactive component that I would commend to your listeners. So I think that just we've got one coming up on dentistry. So I think that, and another one on bullying. So I think the upshot is to give people an opportunity. You know, particularly I think as we're all flailing about trying to think of new ways to use the media and how we can invigorate the media and what we can do to avoid getting sort of too silly. Mm. I think, and I realize that I shouldn't be talking about not getting silly because I'm authoring a chick-lit novel. But I think there is a serious strain to this, which is looking for ways to use internet journalism in very dramatically different ways.
My producer says I should become a judge on American Idol. Hey, if Ellen can do it, I mean, she's a talk show host. Come on.
I love it.
And you mentioned the bully. The bully in the Carl Hiaasen book is named Dwayne Scrod. So there's that. And the book is called Scat. Now I remembered. You have said that your bedside table has two stacks of books, the very serious and important legal tomes, and all these candy-colored chiclet titles. So why do you, Dahlia Lithwick, have a soft spot for this genre?
You know, I'm glad you asked. I don't know. And I think that given that I've said in writing this that the arcs of some of these are very familiar, it's strange that it would be so comforting to me. But I do think a lot of these books kind of give you an opportunity to play out some of your, wait a minute, marriage is really hard. Kids are really annoying. Who's going to fold the laundry stuff that you can't always sort of work through in the rest of your life? So as my husband has pointed out over the course of this project, he's really missing me reading books on Guantanamo.
Were you surprised by the level of interest that you've engendered from your readers? Because it's really friendly looking at the comments.
I mean, I've been surprised at how supportive people were. Frankly, I expected people to say, like, you're a Supreme Court reporter, stop messing around. And I've had one or two emails of that sort, but overwhelmingly, people, and I should say men and women, men have been frantically posting on that Facebook page, too, have been really, really interested in this as a sort of experiment in writing and an experiment in using the web in new ways. I've just loved it. And I sort of joke that my life has been so compartmentalized between my life as a mom and a parent and, you know, somebody who secretly writes about the court but then really does have to go make school lunches. It's fun to integrate them for a few minutes.
And we just have 30 seconds, but is it harder than you thought? Will it be a relief to get back to the easy breezy writing about eminent domain?
Absolutely. I have not slept in a week. This is the hardest thing I've ever done.
Why?
The characters talk to me all night long, not in that psychotic way, but they don't ever stop talking to me.
So she covers the Supreme Court. She gets the kids off to school on time. She tries to show interest in her adorable husband's job, but writing a chick lit novel is just more than this plucky, harried heroine can swing. Since you like the intro so much, I thought I would close with it. Dahlia Lithwick, you can see her Chick-lit crowdsourcing project and her Supreme Court reporting on Slate.com. Thanks a lot. Good luck with it.
Thanks, Brett.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, you have a choice. The Leonard Lopate Show on 93.9 FM or President Obama's speech from Wall Street on AM 820 WNYC.